From the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, December the 5th, 2023. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started correctly with...
The Daily Denogram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, by the time a man realizes that his father was right, he has a son who thinks he's wrong. Just remember the parents' curse. I hope you have a kid just like you.
You're so weird.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast.
Twisted History.
Let's do this.
Gather round, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, I know.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your Twisted History.
Just don't blame me.
You might be quizzed.
I know a lot of stuff happened, and a lot of it was bad, but I had nothing to do with it, okay? Well, kids, it was on this day in 1933, the 21st Amendment to the Constitution was ratified, which basically meant that Prohibition had been repealed. And while the Great Depression continued, Americans were finally better able to cope with it, I guess. And it was on this day in 1955, the American Federation of Labor and the Congress of Industrial Organizations merged, forming the AFL-CIO. I joined the CIO because everyone I see, I owe.
How about I hold your head underwater for just a little while?
Well, I'm ripping this right from the Blaze. A boat full of suspected illegal immigrants landed on a beach in California near the luxurious homes of several liberal celebrities. Maybe this is what we need, huh? Fox News national correspondent Bill Malugin posted video of the landing on the X social media. And Malugin wrote, video from a contact in Malibu shows a Panga boat full of suspected illegal immigrants landing on a beach near his home this week. Incredibly rare to see this so far north, as Malibu is 100 plus miles away from the border. Unclear if anyone caught, waiting a CBP response. Don't wait too long. Malugin also noted that there was a sunken Panga boat in the same area, and I saw a drone video of the sunken boat. Last week, the ABC affiliate over there in Los Angeles, KABC TV Channel 7, reported that Homeland Security and U.S. Customs and Border Protection were investigating this sunken 25-foot-long Panga boat. Authorities said they found life jackets and gas cans nearby, but no one was detained because they had all split. There was nobody there to detain. And then another TV station, KTTV, pointed out Panga boats are frequently used by human and drug smugglers. So you can more easily identify with where we're talking about. This particular area is home to multiple liberal celebrities, including Barbra Streisand, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Cher, including but not limited to those. Now, the London Daily Mail reported Streisand's 19-bedroom clifftop mansion, which she bought in 1997, is now believed to be worth $100 million. Now, according to Forbes, Streisand's net worth is somewhere in the neighborhood of $430 million. And as you know, she's been very critical of Donald Trump's plans to build a border wall on our southern border with Mexico. In 2018, Streisand released an album titled Walls. I don't think anybody bought it, but she released it. And in this album, she rails against Trump's policies attempting to deter illegal immigration. Because Streisand needs people to do her yard work, you know, trim her bushes. Now, the album's title track talks about how there should be no walls. Here's some of the lyrics. Brick by brick they built them, but it seems to me, brick by brick they built them where they shouldn't be. We should be building bridges to a better day, where no walls would stand in the way. Idealistic little idiot. You know, Streisand's incredibly talented. I would never deny that. Incredibly talented. But when it comes to politics, she's dumber than a box of rocks. She's 81 now. She told the New York Times that the album allowed her to express her anger and frustration with Trump being her president. Well, if you don't like it, leave. They always say they're going to leave, but they never do. She said, I would lie awake at night with Trump's outrages running through my head, and I had to do another album for Columbia Records, so I thought, why not make an album about what's on my mind? And that became the title of the first song. I'm so grateful to have music in my life as a way to express myself. And then she said in a 2019 tweet, Trump only cares about this wall in order to build a monument to himself. Just like the bankrupt Trump buildings, the nation cannot afford to pay for his ego, not financially, not morally. By the way, his buildings are not bankrupt. But that's what they're going to do. You know, they're going to smear this guy any way they can. She's always been a devout supporter of the Democrat Party, which I can't figure out because she's Jewish. Anybody today who is Jewish and supports the Democrat Party, you know what you're doing, don't you? If you're Jewish and you support Democrats, you're really supporting a modern-day Nazi party. They want Israel gone. And I think eventually they want the Jewish faith gone. Jews are not a race. They're not a race of people. Please understand that. So Streisand threatened to move out of the country if Trump won the 2024 presidential election. She says, I can't live in this country if he became president. Probably to England. I like England. You like England? Have you seen the anti-Semitism over there lately, girl? You just go to England. Knock yourself out. I would love to know that you are no longer in this country. From the Epic Times and Jack Phillips comes word that several commercial vessels were attacked on December 3rd in the Red Sea. And this has been confirmed by the Pentagon. Now, December 3rd, that would have been Sunday. The statement from Central Command said, today there were four attacks against three separate commercial vessels operating in international waters in the southern Red Sea. These three vessels are connected to 14 separate nations. So, over the course of around 5 hours, the Arleigh Burke-class destroyer USS Kearney, you may have seen some news on this already, responded to several distress calls from the ships and immediately provided assistance while also taking preventative action against UAVs launched from Houthi-controlled areas in Yemen toward the Kearney. Now, the Kearney detected the first attack around 9:15 a.m. local time when anti-ship ballistic missile attacks were fired from Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen toward the MV Unity Explorer, impacting in the vicinity of the vessel. Didn't hit it, but got pretty close. Now, the U.S. warship responded to provide assistance, of course. The Unity Explorer is a Bahamas-flagged, UK-owned and operated bulk cargo ship crewed by sailors from two nations. Then at approximately noon, the Kearney engaged and shot down a UAV launched from Houthi-controlled areas in Yemen, headed for its position in international waters. And you see, that's the sticking point right there. This is happening over in international waters. So they say, we cannot assess at this time whether the Kearney was a target of the UAVs. That's CENTCOM speaking there. They said there was no damage to the U.S. vessel or injuries to personnel. Now, a second attack from Houthi-controlled areas in Yemen, because this is where they're based right now, Yemen. And I think the government, or what government there is in Yemen, is giving them safe haven. So that second attack came at 12:35 when the Unity Explorer reported being struck by a missile. And the Kearney again responded. And the U.S. command said that while assisting with the damage assessment, Kearney detected another inbound UAV, destroying the drone with no damage or injuries on the Kearney or Unity Explorer. It's fascinating technology, this. Unity Explorer reports minor damage from the missile strike. So, two more vessels. The Panamanian-flagged Bermuda and UK-owned and operated bulk carrier MV No. 9 and the Panamanian-flagged bulk carrier MV Sophie 2, crewed by sailors from 8 countries, were both struck by a missile later in the afternoon at 3:30 and 4:30, respectively. And the Carney responded to distress calls from both ships. Now, according to CENTCOM, both attacks were missiles that were fired from Houthi-controlled areas in Yemen. And they said that these attacks represent a direct threat to international commerce and maritime security. They've jeopardized the lives of international crews representing multiple countries around the world. We also have every reason to believe that these attacks, while launched by the Houthis in Yemen, are fully enabled by Iran. Not hard to believe there. The United States will consider all appropriate responses in full coordination with its international allies and partners. And again, that's from CENTCOM. Now, it was reported that the British military said earlier on December 3rd, again, that was Sunday, that there had been a suspected drone attack and explosions in the Red Sea. Now, a military spokesman for the Houthis, Yahya Sari, that's S-A-R-E-E, Sari, said via a Yemeni state-run news outlet that a vessel was hit by a missile and the second by a drone while in the Bab el-Manbeb Strait that links the Red Sea to the Gulf of Aden. And he described the ships as allegedly ignoring warnings from Houthi officials prior to the attack. Well, they can warn us, but that doesn't justify what they're doing, because we're talking about international waters. And here's what he claimed in reference to Israel. He claimed, "It's enough pride and honor for us in Yemen that we have taken an honorable position that will be immortalized in history in supporting Gaza and Palestine, waging the battle of confrontation with the Zionist enemy." Gee, pretty much what you would expect from a knucklehead like that. Now, IDF spokesperson Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari said on Sunday evening that neither of the two ships mentioned by Mr. Sari, Unity Explorer No. 9, were Israeli vessels. This is how big wars start. Now, the Houthi group, which I don't get the idea that these are very brilliant people, the Houthis, don't know a lot about them, but I've been able to find articles here and there, and everything that I've read about them so far, really, they strike me as nothing more than slightly more sophisticated versions of the Somalis, you know, the pirates. So the Houthi group, which has long been backed by Iran, also launched what they referred to as painful strikes on Israel ships with ballistic and winged missiles and drones. Now, that's a direct quote from this guy, Sari, who was referred to by state media as a brigadier general. Oh, I'll bet he is. He's probably got all kinds of fruit salad on his lapel. So, Sari said, according to the Associated Press, he says, "The Yemeni armed forces continue to prevent Israeli ships from navigating the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden until the Israeli aggression against our steadfast brothers in the Gaza Strip stops. The Yemeni armed forces renew their warning to all Israeli ships or those associated with Israelis that they will become a legitimate target if they violate what is stated in this statement." But the official didn't elaborate on the attack, including whether the target was an American warship. But he suggested that the attack was in response to the Israel-Hamas conflict, which, of course, erupted back on October 7th. I think the death count right now in civilians is 1,200 dead in Israel. And Israel has since been waging a significant campaign against Hamas. Hamas must be wiped out. Now, Mr. Sari, according to Yemeni state-backed media, says, "We will continue the battle of confrontation with the forces of aggression and tyranny, and we'll move forward on the path of victory for our homeland and our people for our nation's just issues, most notably the Palestinian issue." Now, the Houthis are a Shia group, and they were taken off the U.S. designated terrorist list by the Department of State in 2021, And they've been launching a series of attacks on vessels in the Red Sea, as well as launching drones and missiles targeting Israel all throughout this conflict. All the more reason to vote for Donald Trump, because Trump will put these boneheads back on the terrorist list immediately. And notably, the USS Kearney had previously shot down several drones and missiles. And this is according to Central Command, CENTCOM. Now, the warship was sent to the region on October 8th in response to the Hamas attack on Israel on October 7th, a method of the madness of having this ship out there. Now, in November, the Houthis seized a vehicle transport ship also linked to Israel in the Red Sea off Yemen. The rebels still hold that vessel near the port city of Hodeidah. Missiles also landed near another U.S. warship last week after it assisted a vessel linked to Israel that had briefly been seized by gunmen. But the Houthis hadn't directly targeted the Americans for some time, further raising the stakes in this growing maritime conflict. Now, back in 2016, the U.S. launched Tomahawk cruise missiles that destroyed three coastal radar sites in Houthi-controlled territory to basically retaliate for missiles being fired at U.S. Navy ships at the time. These Houthis, they like to create trouble. You know, they're poking us. They're poking the bear, poking the dragon here to see if we're going to respond. And since the start of the Israeli conflict, our forces have come under attack in the Middle East as several Iran-aligned groups have fired rockets at military bases housing troops. Nobody getting killed, nobody getting hurt. It's an irritation, to be sure, but it's also a provocation. And meanwhile, global shipping had increasingly been targeted as the war, the Hamas-Israel war, threatens to become a wider regional conflict, even as a truce briefly halted fighting and Hamas exchanged hostages for Palestinian prisoners held by Israel. And we always get the crap end of the deal, because we send terrorists back to the terrorist organization. But we're doing this so we can get our civilians back. Now, the collapse of the truce and the resumption of punishing Israeli airstrikes, and believe me, they are punishing. They are strategically targeted. The IDF is doing an amazing job. And their airstrikes and its ground offensive over there has raised the risk of the seaborne attacks resuming. I don't see them letting up anytime soon, because Iran is still taking the money that we give them, the money that Biden gives Iran, and they're sending it down here to Hamas and the Houthis to wage this, I don't know, it's almost a proxy war. Now, Pentagon officials didn't respond to any requests by the Epoch Times for any comments. They rarely do. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they can't. And they certainly don't want to tip our hand. The Republican Party has, I won't say formidable enemy, but they do have an enemy within, and that would be the RINOs, of course, and we've been all too familiar with them for way too long. And having a candidate like Donald Trump just exacerbates the problem, because you have these self-righteous idiots, you know, Mitt Romney being one of them, who just do anything and everything they can to rail against Donald Trump. Now, Senate Republicans who are concerned about Trump's viability now see Nikki Haley as the last best chance of denying Trump the GOP presidential nomination, which just shows you how wrong-headed RINOs are. Because, quite frankly, Ron DeSantis would stand a better chance. I think DeSantis could beat Nikki Haley. But that doesn't matter, right? GOP senators who don't support Trump acknowledge he could win the presidency, given Biden's weak job approval ratings, but they view Haley as much more electable because she doesn't alienate independent and suburban women voters like Trump does. But here again, these GOP senators are going on the strength of nothing but polls, and we have been embarrassed election year after election year after election year by these polls. Polls say one thing, but the results the morning after the election are entirely different. So these pinheads are worried that if Trump is the GOP nominee, it could still lead to a disastrous result for the Republican Party. Now, I don't know what they base that on. I really don't. But the growing buzz around Haley comes at a time when several GOP senators are writing off Ron DeSantis' chance of staging a comeback. And to be sure, DeSantis has some problems. His interim CEO of his campaign just resigned. So it's not looking good for Ron. But it has nothing to do with his policies. His policies are very good. The problem with Ron DeSantis is his campaign team. And that's unfortunate. So polls are showing that Trump has a massive primary lead. Now, let me read something to you from the London Daily Mail. It said, according to polling aggregator 538, Trump is now on track to win around 60% of the votes in the contest, which begins with the Iowa caucus on January 24th. It leaves Ron DeSantis a long way back in second place at 12.6%, with just 52 days until the votes start to count. DeSantis is going to join Nikki Haley, Chris Christie, and Vivek Ramaswamy at the next GOP debate, which will be Wednesday. But Trump, as he did with all three previous debates, is going to skip it. DeSantis has recently lost two key cogs in his never-back-down super PAC. He had Chairman Adam Laxalt resigning a week ago, and Chief Executive Kristen Davison, that was the one that I was, the interim CEO. That's the one who just left. In fact, I think she was fired. Was she fired? Yeah, she was fired. So things just are not looking good for Ron DeSantis right now. As for Nikki Haley, I don't think we're going to see a big difference in her polling numbers anytime soon. Not at all. And I guess the summary here is the rhinos are losing, which we expected them to do, because the rhinos are losers. I like Carmine Sabia. He is a terrific political watcher and a good conservative. And he was writing in Conservative Brief that former President Trump believes that, we should say former and future President Trump believes that the Democrats and anti-Trump Republicans don't want to face him in the election, even if they claim they do. And let's go ahead and quote Trump here. He says, you know, they've been working on that very hard. This is when he was speaking to attendees at his rally in Iowa. He says, you know, they always say disinformation, misinformation, almost the same, but not quite. But disinformation, misinformation, they always say we want to really run against Trump. If they want to run against me, they wouldn't have indicted me four times and fought like hell to keep me off the ballot. RRR. I mean, you know, it's true. He says, but the fake news and the stupid people at the Wall Street Journal editorial board, they said the other day, well, they really want to run against Trump. Oh, he was on a roll. He says, as you know, we're just 44 days away from Iowa's first in the nation caucuses. You know, I kept you as first of the day. Don't let other people take their credit. We kept you there. These are direct quotes, of course. He says, on Monday, January 15th, we're going to win the Iowa caucuses, and then we're going to crush crooked Joe Biden next November. And we're going to make simply America, we're going to very simply make America great again. You know, it's hard to quote Donald Trump because he speaks in those fragments. All kinds of fragmented sentences. He says, crooked Joe Biden's banana republic ends on November 5th, 2024. God, I hope so. I really do. Because what I'm facing next year, I have a forthcoming divorce and looks like I'm going to have to sell this house and then try to buy something to live in at today's inflated home loan interest rates. Wow. I have challenges, real, real serious challenges coming. So a lot of what we talk about when we're trying to get Donald Trump back into the White House, it's going to affect me very directly. And Trump did talk about his Republican opponents, but he focused on attacking Biden, which is the way you win this. Donald Trump shouldn't be wasting any time putting the bad mouth on any of the Republicans running against him, because, hey, he may still want to take one of them as a running mate. You never know. So, well, let's do some more Donald Trump here. He said Biden and his radical left allies like to pose as defenders of democracy. Boy, he's right there. You see, he was standing up there not long ago with the pink and red background. Looked a little bit sinister. I don't know if he knew what the hell he was doing up there, but he was up there spewing the words that somebody wrote for him. But Joe Biden is not the defender of American democracy. Joe Biden is the destroyer of American democracy, and it's him and his people. They're wreckers of the American dream. The American dream is dead with them in office. It's sad we had such a dream. He's right. And then he said he was going to bring back the American dream bigger and better than ever. That's a great key phrase of his, bigger and better than ever. He said, for decades, you watched as a corrupt political class in our nation's capital looted your money, trampled on your dignity, and pushed their radical agenda into every aspect of your lives. You know it very well. Amen, amen. He says, but in 2016, you voted to stand up to those liars, losers, crooks, and creeps, and you elected an outsider as your president, and it was about America first. We want to put our country first. They haven't done that in a long time, but we did it for 4 years, and that's why we did it so well. That's why it was one of the great presidencies, they say. Well, it was. I mentioned this on yesterday's podcast. I used to say to my coworker, Chuck, I haven't felt this good since the days of Ronald Reagan. I like the way he put that, though. Standing up to liars, losers, crooks, and creeps. Somebody ought to write a song. To the Comedy Corner with Jason Love.
Everybody in this town is so nice. I feel like I'm on the set of the Truman Show or something. It's like people aren't gonna believe me. I'm gonna go back to LA. I'm like, I said hi, they said hi back. No, really, truly. It's good. And I don't know. I think you all have, you know, you've got such fresh air and you have clear heads here. That's what I'm feeling. Like a clearness. You have the snows in the mountain, you know. You guys live in a postcard. It's you are here. You are the postcard. It's good, man. I've been traveling a lot too, and I've been seeing, I was just in Kansas. Career on fire. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I paid for gas in Kansas? $1.82. I swear it was $1.82. I was putting it in my Arrowhead bottles, stuffing it away. I was talking to a buddy of mine on the phone, and he wasn't impressed by that. He's like, "Oh, you know, that's cool. Is there a time difference?" Yes, it's 1985. Paid a dollar for gas. So, yeah, this is really nice. Utah's great, man. I love it here. I was in Alabama. Alabama? Yeah, I did. Are you from Alabama? Yeah, just supportive. You live here now, obviously. You found your way to the postcard, and you're staying. You got out. You escaped. That's how I felt about that gig. Yeah, you know what, man? I did a hog rally to make it worse. It's like Harley Davidson. Who else but this guy for the hog rally in Alabama? My agent wants me dead. I show up and it's just this sea of, you know, leather vests and chest hair, a pit bull. Yeah, up walks me, a guy who's slowly turning into Ellen. I'm your comedian tonight. Where do you want me? Back in LA? All right, thank you. Just keep swimming, just keep open carry. Now I escaped too, man. We both escaped. That's good. Yeah, so my name is Jason Love. That's my actual driver's license name to go with the frosted tips to complete this ensemble. You know who it sucks for is when you fly, sometimes there's a driver who picks you up at the airport with the little sign, you know? I gotta feel stupid waiting for me. Love? Anyone? TriedMatch.com.
Have a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.